what GWM and most of the Chinese manufacturers that are in the country have done is proven that, yes, cars don't have to be stupidly expensive.
Mm.
They can come in at a very wallet-friendly price, and you're getting a lot of car for your money.
Mm-hmm. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi, the Auto Trader brand and PR manager.
I'm Lawrence Manin, digital content creator. And
thank you. I thought maybe I cut you off there.
No. But dialing in from Cape Town.
Yeah, special guest. Who's on the screen? Who is that?
I'm Anna Albert. So I've actually been working for Auto Trader since 2015.
Yeah.
But I've been flying low.
It's part of the furniture.
Part of the furniture and sitting in Cape Town. I'm so jealous. Whenever we get to go to Cape Town, I get to like hang out with you. And it's just, I'm just always so jealous.
I love Cape Town.
Me too. Moving on, guys. And today's
traffic in Cape Town.
People always complain about the traffic, but I'm always like,
why I moved to Joburg.
Oh, really? I mean, whenever I'm there, it's pretty like tame. So I don't know why everyone's always complaining about it. Bizarre. Anyways, in today's show, we're kicking off with a brand new segment. It's called Say What, where we're basically going to be unpacking some of the weird stories I found online. Then we have Hot or Not, where we'll be featuring this past week's Tuesday, which was the Mercedes-AMG GLE 63S. Versus the BMW X6M. So I have some thoughts, but I want to hear what you guys are, you know, what you think about them. And then we'll be bringing back the speaking cars, where both of you are actually in some two very interesting cars.
Two very, very different cars.
Yeah, exactly that. But I think they're going to make a splash in the market, so looking forward to unpacking that. And then of course we'll end off today with Ask Auto Trader. Let's dive right in, guys. So I don't know if you guys saw this article recently that came out. And basically the title of the article was "The Average Car is Dirtier Than a Toilet Seat." So I don't know if you guys believe that, if you guys, you know.
I can 100% absolutely believe it.
Yeah.
And you'd be actually quite surprised to hear that toilet seats are actually pretty clean compared to things like the breadboard in your kitchen, your cell phone, the keyboard from your laptop, all horribly, horribly infected with viruses and bugs and whatnot. I don't know. What do you say, Anae?
Well, I speak from personal experiences. If you touch your phone and you touch your face and you've been ill, or you hand your phone to someone else, they will invariably get whatever you got. So, yes, phones are extremely dirty.
People sit in their cars, they cough, they sneeze.
Also dirty.
Yeah.
People sit in their cars, they cough, they sneeze, they wipe things.
Look, it's, I just gross, remember, like, during COVID, for instance, a great example of like when this sort of thing, specifically the phone, and like things on surfaces kind of came up. That's when, for me at least, when I took real sort of appreciation of washing your hands and making sure that all the surfaces are clean. Yeah, but I mean, a toilet seat, I mean, I don't know about that. Toilet seats seem kind of like disgustingly dirty. So I would never ever assume.
Well, I'm going to go and say that the interior of a car is probably dirtier than just about anything and everything you can possibly think of.
Yeah.
The foot traffic that goes through your car, the surfaces, there are multiple surfaces that get touched, door handles, steering wheels, handbrakes, gear levers. It's just nasty.
But dirtier than a car, I mean, that's, I don't know.
And if you ride with your windows open, everything that's environmentally around your car gets in there as well.
So if you're a person who loves your car and like all your things kind of clean, then what do you do? How do you go about ensuring that that's, your car's not dirtier than the toilet?
So you wash your car every day.
I mean,
and you clean the interior. So you have interior sprays. There's deionized water that you can use as a spritz to clean surfaces. It cleans bugs. There's silicone sprays, little brushes and stuff that you can get off of Takealot that you can clean in between the vents and stuff. You can keep the inside of your car clean.
Yeah.
And properly clean, like a hospital operating theater, but for the most part, most people don't.
Yeah. Any.
Remember during COVID, we all had to spray down our test cars.
Listen, COVID is just a bad fever dream.
It's every single time you guys are testing a car, you had to go and sanitize it.
At the worst of it, yes, we actually had special stuff that we got that was interior safe for the leathers and the piano black.
That's crazy.
Like I said, it was a bad fever dream. I try and forget about things like this.
So the things that lead to cars being dirty, according to the article, at least of the study, was eating in the car. So that's obviously the top sort of scenario.
That's not allowed.
Sneezing and coughing in your car. I mean, I sometimes eat in the car sometimes.
And my kids know it as well. You want to charge something, you get out.
I mean, a lot of people eat in their cars. I don't think it's that
insane. Sales people, people that are on road. Yes, yeah. I can say garage pie and a Coke.
Yeah.
Eat on the fly.
No. Well, there's that sneezing and coughing. I mean, that one's kind of, you know, straightforward. Pets. So pets and cars. Another reason why, on average, cars are dirtier than the toilets. I don't know about that one.
It's not so much the dirt, it's the hair.
It's the hair. I would assume it's the hair. And yeah, I've never had a pet.
I've got two dogs, they're not allowed in the car.
Cars are dirtier than others as well. I mean, I think driving around with your cat is probably more hygienic than driving around with your dog.
Yeah, I mean,
we all upset a whole bunch of dog people.
All the dog people will be like, yeah. But to your point, I mean, there's a few things you can do. Regular cleaning is obviously the top one to ensure that your car stays clean. Avoiding eating in the car is the big one. And then obviously the antibacterial products that you spoke about.
And make sure that your passengers are not. So if your passengers are sick, you know, sorry, buddy, you're walking.
Yeah, no, sorry, not today. So that's, I mean, let's see what you guys think. If you guys think or agree with this study, let us know. If you know of a scenario where there was an extremely dirty car, I would be interested to see.
I mean, you must have seen those memes, dude. The difference between a girl's car and a boy's car.
Yeah, yeah.
The girl's car is like, there's McDonald's boxes packed up to the back windows and the guy's car is spotless. But then the guy's room looks
exactly
like...
Exactly that. I was about to say the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of depends. It kind of depends. This is what you guys think. But moving on to the next segment, hot or not. So this past week we did a super cool... Tuesday post, right, where we pitted the two premier sort of luxury sports SUVs right now, which was the AMG GLE 63S versus the XXM. I don't know if either of you have driven those cars as of yet.
Previous gen models. The new ones, no, but I know exactly where my money's going if it was my 3 million rand.
Yeah.
What, the X6 or the Mercedes AMG?
Oh, no, it's going to be the GLC all the way.
Really?
Dude, I do not like the way the X6 is, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, of course.
I don't like the way it looks.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Any sort of...
Well, BMX 6 drivers usually tend to put me off. They're always the ones that seem to be ignoring red lights and stop streets and just making a noise and driving. Yeah.
There's just something like a little bit more evocative, a little bit more executive about the GLC. I don't know.
If I had to pick me personally, okay, obviously there's a massive bias here.
Oh,
right.
We know, Mr. BMW.
Do you want to take a guess what where I'm going here?
Yeah, X6M.
X6M any day of the week for all the reasons you actually mentioned. Okay? Because I want to be that person. Like, I feel like it's just a really, really cool car. And if I'm buying a 3 million rand SUV, I want to have the full sports experience. I don't want to just
And I think that's, to your point, it is the difference between, it's the sports experience versus the executive experience.
Exactly that, yeah.
I would rather have the executive experience than the shattered spine from the ultra
hard suspension. Why are you getting the sports model then? Why get the variant that's like, you know, not the sports variant?
Because GLC 63.
It's just cooler.
It's the 63. You got to have that.
I don't know. Well, look, some comments have come in now. And right now, it seems like it's kind of, you know.
I think this is one of those 50-50 jobs.
It is very 50-50. A lot of people are saying BMW for the interior, mostly. And a lot of people are saying, for the same reason that you like the Mercedes, is it's a little bit more refined. It's not in your face. But I want that.
And it doesn't have a coupe roofline.
Yeah. And you know, fun fact, I never used to be a fan of the X6 until maybe this latest iteration, because I've just never understood SUVs with like a coupe, like roofline.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me. But this has kind of swayed me. Just saying.
Yeah, well, if it's big enough, then the coupe roofline is actually preferable. But in the past, usually it would mean that the boot would be considerably smaller. But if it's spacious enough in the back, then I can do the coupe roofline.
Oh, no, this is right up there with Ford versus Hilux, with Ranger versus Hilux.
It's going to be going on. It's a raging war.
Yeah, well, we can stay here until the cows come home.
In terms of that, like sports SUVs as a whole, are you both fans of them? Is there any like, you know, sort of, if you in the line for a new vehicle and those are your two options versus just getting a normal SUV, like what are the benefits of actually going that route in the first place?
You know, there's a time and a place for everything. And
exactly.
It is a... very, very niche market.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of players. I mean, I think it is basically just Merc and BMW, possibly Jaguar, I think.
Yeah.
There are so few people that are actually going to buy them. I mean, they can have the segment to themselves. I personally, with wife and kids and family and whatnot, I would not get a sports SUV. They're fun to drive.
Yeah. But
ultimately, at the end of the day, rather pointless.
If you use the case though, right? I mean, I would definitely, you know, but I don't have kids. So this kind of depends.
That's the big difference.
Yeah, or pets. Just make sure they don't eat and then you'll be good.
Well, no. If you've got an expensive German SUV, then the dogs are walking.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Well, if you guys have some thoughts on this, please let us know. The post is still there on, I think, across all of our social media platforms.
Yeah.
But let's see if somebody wins. Let's see, if, you know, what do people prefer between the two? And we're doing the Tuesdays every Tuesday, so, you know.
That's always very interesting. If you know, Tuesday morning, go check our socials and see which what crazy combination we put out for the day, you know, and drop us a comment. You know, you never know.
100%. Okay. This week in cars. So we have two reviews. I don't know who wants to go first. I think let's go with, I'm going to be biased. Let's go with my favorite of the two. I'm going to go with the NA. So you were recently in the new BMW 5 Series.
Yes.
And I have some thoughts on this vehicle, but maybe you can just give us a quick review of exactly what you think of the vehicle, why it rocks, what the sort of person will be looking to really, really get the best out of the vehicle, some price and some launches, and yeah, we'll take it from there.
Okay, so we all agree that the previous 5 Series looked a bit like an overgrown 3 Series, right?
Yeah.
But this new one, I mean, it just looks completely different. But the big news is actually not the model itself, but the fact that there's an all-electric model, which is the i5 M60, which is the very, very fast performance model of the 5 Series and the new flagship.
Is that going to... I thought that's only in the Touring, or is that also the sedan?
No. Okay. Yeah, it's sedan. We don't have the Touring over here.
Okay.
But we have that performance model over here, and it's a brilliant car. And then we also have... an upcoming i5 eDrive 40, which is slightly slower with only one electric motor, whereas the other one has two, one on each axle, one in front and one in the back. So that'll be the more sort of efficient one that you'll be looking at for better range. But the most amazing thing about the i5 is just how sports car-like it is. It is so fast.
Wait, are we getting an M5 or was it just going to be the i5 as the kind of the sports variant?
Yeah, it's basically replacing it. So
I don't know how I feel about that.
I have a question, Anae. Did the grill get any bigger?
It didn't. It's actually quite small, surprisingly.
Well, that's a good thing.
And it's got a nice new sort of option that you can spec. It's called the BMW Iconic Glow. So it sort of outlines the grill with LED lighting and it looks gorgeous.
I think we can fit that to Wendy's car.
I need one of those. I definitely one of those. So I saw some images of this vehicle when it just kind of was released or launched. Uh-huh. And I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of like the direction that it's gone versus the previous one. But like the M2, when that came out, I was on the fence, lots of bias coming out of me. So I still loved it. But when I saw it in the flesh, it was so much like better.
So this is something,
is this one of those similar situations?
For me, it is every successive model from a BMW, and if it's not an LCI, which is a mid-life cycle facelift, people go, oh, I don't like the way it looks. It's not the way I remember it. It's not.
They don't make them like they used to anymore.
But then after 2 or 3 months, it starts growing on people. You remember the drama there was around M3, M4 2 years ago with the new grills? I mean, I just brought it up again about the grills getting bigger and bigger.
And when you see them, it's like,
And then after like 3-4 months, people are like, yeah, it's the new BMW.
Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
And it grows on them and you live with it.
Yeah.
And I think that is pretty much the same thing. In about 2 or 3 months, you're going to be like, I like the way that looks.
Outside of the exterior differences, Anae, like what are the biggest changes from an experiential sort of...
Well, I mean, it's a lot longer and sleeker. So it is actually longer than the outgoing model. The wheelbase is longer.
Yeah.
But the biggest new thing, I would say, is definitely the grille that looks completely different. And around the back, it's sort of also smoother and sleeker, wraparound taillights, a very nice diffuser, which is actually quite funny because, I mean, it's an electric car, so there's no exhausts. So it's, it looks amazing. It's still a long, in Afrikaans, you would say it's lank in slop. And I mean, it still has that sort of feeling.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the interior is what really wows you. I mean, the exterior is quite subdued, but the inside is amazing. It's a lot like the 7 Series, actually.
I was just going to say, it trickled down from the 7.
So in the previous gen...
crystal and stuff.
Yeah, so for the previous gen, people were like, it's like the 3 Series. And now it's kind of now it's the 7 Series.
It's a mini 7 Series.
But I mean, I personally...
You know, you're saying it's newer and better technology.
Yeah.
So they're very proud of it.
100%.
Yeah, BMW is going to have a bit of a busy year. We've got another, I think, 5 models incoming.
What are the models that are coming out?
There was some talk about the M3 Touring.
Okay.
There are a couple more SUVs. And hopefully, before the end of the year, we'll know exactly whether we're going to be getting X3 Hybrid that's made here in Pretoria.
Okay.
If it's going to be introduced for the local market. But we'll have to see.
Lots going
to
be happening around BMW.
Yeah, they've got not an overly busy year, but they are going to have a couple of models this year.
So
lots to look forward to.
The article for that is going to be coming out soon. By the time of when this goes live, I think the article is going to be live. So if you want to find any more details on that, pricing, that sort of thing, and finer details, please check out the Auto Trader website under news and reviews, and you should be able to see that article. Also this week in cars, you were in the GW 300 tank, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So
did I get the name right there first?
No. So it's a completely new model, new brand, new mark, everything. We first saw this vehicle at Festival of Motoring late last year.
Yeah.
They had just one demo that they were doing on the off-road course. Mm-hmm. And my wife and kids got to drive in it before I even did. So it tells you.
Yeah.
Vehicles finally arrived and they held onto them for a while because there was something else in the works that they wanted to do at the same time as the launch of this vehicle. So the eagle-eyed amongst our listeners and viewers will notice that over the next few weeks, all the Haval dealerships in the country are going to start changing.
All the Haval branded dealerships are going to be changing. Yeah.
The exterior of the building is going to become black with chrome, lots of glass.
Is this an exclusive? Are you giving like people an exclusive?
No, this was all announced. Came out at the... So they basically, the company is restructuring a little and changing up the brand. So Haval, Aura and Tank become sub-brands of GWM, the way it is globally.
Mm-hmm.
So the Haval dealership will now be a GWM dealership.
Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for Haval, you just go to the GWM dealership.
So they're changing all the logos.
Okay.
So Haval gets a new logo, Aura gets a new logo, and then the newest one that you're going to find is Tank. So the first model to arrive is the Halo model of this lot, which is the Tank 300 HEV.
Okay.
So hybrid version of the family 4x4.
Mm-hmm.
So this vehicle is something else. It is so difficult to try and pin down.
You took it off-roading as well. Eh? It wasn't just a road drive. Yeah,
600 odd kilometers on the launch. Drove north and back again over 2 days. And what is so weird about this vehicle is when you look at it and you go, that's a Ford Bronco's headlight. That's a Jeep Wrangler's.
I saw one the other day. I was going to Pick n Pay or something, and literally it looked like it was completely kitted out.
Yeah. Probably the homologation model that was driving around. It was orange with the roof racks.
Yeah, orange. Exactly that.
Yes,
yeah.
It's that one. So this vehicle is so weird. It's a mixture of all these different design elements from different 4x4 manufacturer. So I said in the article, which is up on site now, is if you were to take a Land Rover Defender 110, all of the electronic gear and the smart systems and everything that are in that car, and you stuff them into a Lada Niva, which has been mixed with a Jeep Wrangler, and then put it in a blender and pour it into a Ford Bronco-shaped mold. That's an approximation of what you're going to get with the Tank 300. It is a fantastic motor vehicle.
I love the way it looks, personally. I think it's going to be so popular. I don't think it has to grow. I think it's honestly, it's a great looking vehicle.
Much like the Wrangler, it grows on you. Mm. When you initially see it, you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the more you look at it and the more time you spend with it, the more it's like, I know, this is proper.
Let's talk abilities. I mean, you got an opportunity to like proper.
Drove it up a 33 degree rock wall.
Jeepers.
Four low.
Yeah.
Rock climbing ability. And just hill ascent control. Buk, 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 and up it went. 2 liter turbo petrol with a hybrid system. You're looking at 255 kilowatts and 648 newton meters. So what that basically means is
that's
this
a pull.
Thing,
I think
this
a thing, pull. Yeah.
Yes.
Because of the hybrid system. I'm assuming the hybrid system.
So the electric motor and the battery and everything kicks in. So you have the combination of the two that gives you those figures. Otherwise, it's quite substantially lower if you're just on the petrol. But I mean, the system is it's
always
like
kind of
the hybrid system is much like you're going to find in a Lexus. Mm-hmm. So you have a battery and it's regenerative. So if you take your foot off the brake and it's slow.
And it knows when best to like deliver all that power.
Yes. And it while you're driving on the freeway, it recharges the battery. Like I said, fantastic motor. But as far as tech and features go, the laundry list. Mm-hmm. We'd be here until next week if I had to list out all the stuff that's in this thing. Advanced driver assistance system. So it has all the bells and whistles. And I probably think my favorite thing on it is the 360 degree chassis view camera. So this isn't just like...
So it's not looking at the top. You can see... Because you're off-roading, right? You can see underneath.
And if you touch the screen, you can actually pull it around. And you So much like you get in the Defender. But this, what it actually does is it takes the vehicle out of the image.
Okay.
So you can see, I'm parked on top of a rock.
Yeah.
And you can see the rock.
Exactly.
It's not just this blank
little
space.
Thing that's there,
You know, the cameras were awesome. The off-road capability is fantastic. It's something else. You would not think that the vehicle would be able to do that, especially on the street tires.
What's the price that we're looking at, Jeremy? Okay.
Now, I only have two...
Because we had chat on last week and you're speaking about the Land Cruiser, right? So I'm curious.
I have two misgivings about this vehicle. Number one is the fuel economy, which was not that great. And especially from a hybrid, you're sitting there going, well, manufacturer says 8.4 and the best we were able to get was freeway cruising at 120 k's an hour was 11.9.
Oh, yeah.
And when we were off-roading 19s all day, it was pretty heavy on gas. Yeah. And then, of course, it is the fact that South African consumers, as we well know, are very brand biased. Mm-hmm. And what GWM and most of the Chinese manufacturers that are in the country have done is proven that, yes, cars don't have to be stupidly expensive. Mm. They can come in at a very wallet-friendly price and you're getting a lot of car for your money. Mm-hmm. Somewhere along the line, they've forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Because the GWM Tank 300 HEV comes in at 815,000.
Oh, yeah. And that's going to be its biggest. It sounds amazing. And it's like, no, I got
still, unfortunately, from a consumer's point of view, they're still going, yes, it has all of this gear and it's such a capable and fantastic motor vehicle, but it still has the Made in China tag attached to it.
Yeah.
And that remains to be seen whether consumers are actually going to say, oh, I don't care. Or if they're going to say, you know what?
Fantastic car anyways, right? So it's worth the
Ford Ranger the price. Money.
Exactly, yeah.
It's entry-level Ford Ranger money. So, you know, at the end of the day, if given a choice, yes, I'd put one in my garage.
100%,
my kids would happily go 4x4. I mean, you're not really going to use it for the 4x4. It's more all the other luxury tech and features and then, you know, the plush leather interior with the piano black. And
but if you do want to go off-roading, you totally can.
I mean, this thing is good. It's probably the first time I've ever seen it. The infotainment screen is 12 inches long, wide.
12,
if you're busy with something on this screen, on what would essentially be the infotainment side. With
you can do something different there, I'm assuming.
You touch and you drag it over into the binnacle in front of you.
Yeah. And just use
touch
the
screen. Yeah. So you can be like, no, I just want to touch that. I want to drag that feature like a normal touch screen on a tablet. It is, I've never seen that in a car before. And I was also like, wow, now you're actually sitting there. Or while you're driving, you're supposed to be, now you're playing with the screen. And
100%. 100%. I mean, the article's going to come out and I'm assuming the review at some point. Yeah.
So the test vehicle will come in a few weeks. They're still busy doing dealer training and whatnot. Because like I said, a lot of the dealerships will be changing now. There will be a applied sections in the dealership. So if you go into a GWM dealership, you'll only see it. There is the tank corner. Mm-hmm. There is the Aura corner. Some dealerships will have all three brands. Some dealerships will only have one. Others will have two.
Yep. So like just kind of depends. All.
So if you go to a dealership that has the tank logo on the outside, you know, there'll be a tank section. So probably a thing parked on rocks or something. Yeah. Their display.
100%.
And you can go in and have a look. Stories live on site. You can go and have a look. And
100%.
Test vehicle will be out soon.
100%. Thanks. Okay, guys, before I let you guys go, we have some questions for our last segment called Ask Auto Trader, where we get some people to send in some questions on the Auto Trader website. And hopefully we get to, you know, find some answers for them. So I got two this time because it's two of you. And hopefully you can help me out here. So the first question came from Jindraj69. And they asked, are the used cars for sale via Auto Trader roadworthy and come with a DEKRA certification?
Okay, so as Auto Trader... Yeah. We don't hold any of the stock, so none of the cars are ours. They're not in our name. As far as I know, the majority of the vehicles that are for sale through the dealerships will have them roadworthy and DEKRA tested before they get sold. So from our side, we don't deal with that kind of paperwork, but the dealerships do.
Okay, so ultimately, in summary,
you can check.
Check with the dealership when you're there, and sometimes if you go on the Auto Trader website, you would find that information.
Yeah, the listing, it'll tell you that it's roadworthy, it's DEKRA tested, it's had this and this and this testing done, and they'll tell you in the listing, in the advert for the car, what has been done and what comes with the vehicle, or what paperwork you would need. But yeah, the majority of the dealers that we have are pretty high in, so they
don't they'll have that sort of thing.
They don't really just say, oh, well, come fetch the car. The roadworthy and licensing is your problem.
100%. And now the next question comes from you, or it's for you, and it came from Simelo. And they gave us actually like a long sort of story, but essentially she is a young professional now who's been driving a manual vehicle for the longest time, but she hates manual. So do I. Let me just put that out. Exactly that. So they're looking around right now to, you know, for a kind of an automatic vehicle for somebody who's trying to get their first car. Do you have anything that you'd recommend for a brand new driver looking for a nice, cost-effective auto?
Yeah, well, I would definitely cast my sights at Suzuki because they're inexpensive, cheap to run, cheap to service. They don't give problems. So it's the perfect starter car for a new driver or a young professional who wants to save on fuel and maintenance costs. So specifically, I'm looking at my favorite small little but micro SUV, which is the Suzuki Ignis.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's also the normal Suzuki Swift GL Auto if you just want a little hatchback that's going to be cool for the city and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And she can definitely also look at a used Suzuki Vitara Brezza or a previous generation Toyota Urban Cruiser.
100%. Is there anything you want to add there? Is there any other vehicles that you would recommend?
Ford Figo.
Okay.
With the 1 liter EcoBoost that has the auto with the rocker switch on it. That's also a great, from a secondhand point of view, yes, that is a
fantastic option.
A great little car for students.
Yeah,
100%.
Parts as well.
100%. Thank you very much, guys. That's pretty much all the time we have for today. But yeah, if you enjoyed the show, please don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and we'll probably see you guys next week.
Great. Thank you, everyone.
Search Auto Trader.